Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
In the past, we used to look at these HER2-positive tumors and think that only HER2-positive mattered. And these tumors were HER2-driven, and it did not matter so much if they also expressed hormone receptors or not.
Today, Drs. Wax and Lintz join the podcast to discuss what the PATINA trial teaches us about treating HER2-positive breast cancer in this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Ada Wax. I'm the Associate Director of Breast Oncology Clinical Research at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, where I also see patients as a senior physician. I'm based here in Boston and serve as an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School.
And I am Philippa Lintz. I am a breast medical oncologist at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, where I direct the Inflammatory Breast Cancer Program, and I also work with the Center for BRCA and Related Genes. I'm also based here in Boston, and I serve as an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School.
Thanks for joining us. Today, we're going to discuss the PATINA trial, a randomized phase 3 trial which looked at whether adding a CDK4/6 inhibitor to standard HER2-targeted therapy and endocrine therapy could improve outcomes in metastatic triple-positive breast cancer, raising new questions about how we approach this unique subgroup. How's that sound to you, Philippa?
Sounds great, Ada.
So, Philippa, triple-positive disease can behave very differently depending on the patient. In the metastatic setting, how do you think about whether it's more hormone-driven or HER2-driven?
That's a great question. I think that in the past, we used to look at these HER2-positive tumors and think that only HER2-positive mattered. And these tumors were HER2-driven, and it did not matter so much if they also expressed hormone receptors or not. And what we've learned now with PATINA and other studies is that actually by targeting the endocrine pathway, we can make further advances rather than just focusing on targeting HER2.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And PATINA has been really important in demonstrating that. So before the PATINA trial came out, how were you typically treating patients with metastatic triple-positive disease? And what were the limitations of that approach?
Great question. So I was treating similarly to the CLEOPATRA study. After a certain number of cycles with chemotherapy and dual HER2-targeted therapies, I would drop the chemotherapy. And I have to be honest that even before PATINA, I was adding for those patients with triple-positive disease, I was already adding endocrine therapy, hoping that that would lead to better outcomes, but certainly not adding a CDK4/6 inhibitor.
And I think it's really important to remember that in the CLEOPATRA trial, even the patients who are ER positive were not getting endocrine therapy as a component of their maintenance regimen. So even that treatment paradigm has changed over the years.
That's right.
So I know that you were involved with the PATINA trial. Can you walk us through the trial design and talk about what made it such an important study?
So the PATINA trial evaluated the addition of the CDK4/6 inhibitor palbociclib to maintenance therapy with trastuzumab, pertuzumab, and endocrine therapy in patients with hormone receptor positive, HER2 positive metastatic breast cancer following induction chemotherapy. The goal here was to determine whether this strategy could extend progression-free survival compared to HER2-targeted therapy and endocrine therapy alone. It was an important study because patients with triple-positive disease, here defined as hormone receptor-positive and HER2-positive disease, often fall into a gray zone, historically treated like other HER2-positive cancers with intensive chemotherapy, yet biologically distinct in ways that suggest they might benefit from endocrine-based strategies. So Patina was designed to directly address that gap by testing whether adding a CDK4/6 inhibitor could meaningfully improve outcomes, helping clarify how to integrate hormonal and HER2-targeted therapy in this unique population. The results showed a clear progression-free survival benefit. So the question comes, and I have this question for you, Ada, how do you interpret that clinically? And has the results, we saw the results presented at San Antonio last year, have you incorporated these results into your clinical practice?
Absolutely. I think it's a great question, and it has absolutely come up in clinic, in the 9 months or so since these data were presented. And for me, I think that the data were pretty much immediately practice changing. You know, I think that the addition of the palbociclib, the CDK4/6 inhibitor here, just made such a big difference in terms of improving these patients' progression-free survival that I absolutely now consider this a new standard of care regimen for a triple-positive patient who I'm treating in the first-line metastatic setting. So yes, for patients who are newly diagnosed with triple-positive metastatic disease, I have absolutely been adding the CDK4/6 inhibition. So question for you, Philippa. Patients often ask us about avoiding chemotherapy altogether when we're treating HER2-positive and ER-positive metastatic breast cancer. So how do you translate the findings from Patina into those discussions at the bedside?
Yeah, I get those questions in clinic as well. And I have to say that although that's the dream or the ultimate goal of how can we identify the patients that can avoid chemotherapy and receive only HER2-targeted therapies with endocrine therapy and CDK4/6 inhibitors, Patina was not designed to answer that question. I'll remind you, that patients, in order to be eligible to go on Patina, they had received on average about 6 to 8 cycles of chemotherapy with HER2-targeted therapies, and only if they did not progress during that induction period, they were eligible to go on Patina. So I don't think that we can say that Patina was able to answer that question. So back to you, Ada, looking ahead, do you see Patina opening the door for similar de-escalation or combination strategies in earlier stage triple positive disease?
So I wish that I could say that we have or will have in the future strong evidence to use CDK4/6 inhibition in our high-risk early stage triple positive patients. As you've reviewed, I think Patina was just such a strong support of how targeting CDK4/6 can improve outcomes in the metastatic setting for these patients. And it's very, very tempting when we have a patient with high-risk early-stage disease to think about extrapolating from trials like Monarchy and Natalie and using adjuvant CDK4/6 inhibition in these HER2-positive patients as well. But unfortunately, at this point, we just don't have any definitive evidence that those agents are tolerable for our patients with HER2-positive disease or improve outcomes for our patients with early-stage HER2-positive disease. So at this point, I don't consider that part of the standard of care.
Yeah, great thoughts, Ada. I agree with you. I'm also very excited to see where antibody drug conjugates will or how they will play a role into our patients, into the treatment of our patients with early stage HER2 positive higher risk disease. So I can anticipate that ADCs will come into play here as well.
Yeah, totally agree. That'll be really important, I think. So thanks for joining me today, Philippa. This has been great. And thank you for joining us for our discussion on the Patina trial and what it teaches us about treating HER2-positive breast cancer.
And that's today's special spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, or TuneIn. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, what's my flash briefing? Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Wax and Lintz. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.